Emmanuel Macron wants a second term as president, something no incumbent in France has managed in the last 20 years. If he succeeds, he'd be only the fourth French leader to do so since the beginning of the Fifth Republic in 1958. Marine Le Pen from the far-right National Party is one of 11 other candidates standing in his way. She promises in her manifesto to curb immigration and make it illegal for Muslims to wear headscarves in public spaces. But her campaign has focused on the cost of living crisis. It's the number one concern for French voters ahead of the war in Ukraine, the environment and healthcare.
My concern is her future. Of course, I am worried about the cost of living, but the main thing for me is the actions needed to fight climate change.
I want everything to change, that we go back to a sweeter life where we stop talking about money and about profit and put being human at the heart of the discussion.
The international situation is scary with a war going on in Europe. I think it's a big worry, and then unemployment is also a concern, even if now it's lowering.
Far-left candidate Jean-Luc Mélenchon is hoping to make it to a second round of voting. That'll be in 2 weeks if no candidate gets more than 50% of the vote. And that's never happened since France started directly electing its presidents in 1965.
The issue of refugees also is the second aspect as a consequence of the Ukrainian crisis, that could have an impact on the vote today and after 2 weeks.
Polls close at 8 p.m. on Sunday in major cities, 7 p.m. in the provinces. A concern this time is there'll be a low turnout because people feel the result is a foregone conclusion.
A pre-election poll suggested a third of registered French voters won't bother to cast their ballot. That would be a record. Now, there's no exit polling here, but we'll get a good indication of who might go through to the second round of voting just after 18 hours GMT. That's when figures are released from ballots counted where the polls closed an hour earlier. Bernard Smith, Al Jazeera, Paris.
All right, Natasha Butler joins us live from Paris. Natasha, those early turnout figures weren't looking so good. Is it picking up now?
Well, at this polling station in central Paris, there's certainly been quite a lot of people coming to vote. There was quite a queue behind me a short while ago, but it seems that perhaps that is not the picture elsewhere in the country, because we have had the turnout figures at midday French time. And according to the French Interior Ministry, 25% of eligible voters have actually cast their ballot. It's low, but it's not drastically low. It's 3 points lower than it was in 2017. There were 28% had cast their votes at around the same time. But, you know, there has been little enthusiasm for this election. It really seems as if the campaign's never really got off the ground, you might say. That's at least what many people have been saying in recent weeks. And people are feeling quite weary. We've had the COVID pandemic for a couple of years. People are very preoccupied looking at the war in Ukraine. And there is this sense that we saw in 2017 amongst people that they're simply fed up with the political system. They're fed up of politicians. They're fed up of politics, and they don't feel massively motivated. Nevertheless, they certainly have a certain amount of choice. You've got 12 presidential candidates, everything from anti-capitalists to the far right, and everything in between, including the French President Emmanuel Macron, who wants a second term. His main challenger, Marine Le Pen of the far right, has certainly run a very tight campaign, according to her supporters. And then we might have Jean-Luc Mélenchon from the far left also posing something of a challenge, perhaps even making it to the second round. It is interesting, though. I was speaking to one woman a bit earlier who said to me that she hankered for the old days. She said back then you had two main political parties in France. You had the Conservatives on the right, you had the Socialists on the left. And she said it actually made it so much easier to pick.
And Natasha, let's take us through some of the key issues which are facing voters right now.
Well, the main concern really for most voters in France has been the cost of living. It is something that people will talk about repeatedly wherever you are in the country. They are seeing prices rise, the cost of food, the cost of petrol. People are very worried indeed about their bank accounts, about their money at the end of the month. They're struggling financially. It was an issue during the Yellow Vest protests a few years ago. It is still an issue today. And that is also linked to another big concern in this election. That, of course, is Russia's invasion of Ukraine. People looking at that very carefully indeed. They see a war in Europe. They see Europe in crisis. Some of them are frightened. They're worried. And they see the impact also on prices. Other issues, immigration, of course, that has played very heavily in this campaign, particularly with the far-right parties and the emergence last year of a new face in this race, if you like, Eric Zemmour, a former TV pundit who has also taken a very tough and hard line on immigration. And then you have other issues, things like climate change. They haven't actually been perhaps at the forefront of many people's minds during this election. Perhaps they haven't been a top-of-agenda topic for some of the candidates, but still, of course, one of the main issues for some.
All right, thanks so much, Natasha Butler there. Well, Emmanuel Macron is a former banker and economic advisor to President François Hollande. His centrist party aims to draw support from the mainstream left and right. As president, he introduced unpopular pension reforms and faced the country's long-running Yellow Vest protests. Marine Le Pen is running for president for the third time. She succeeded her father as leader of the far-right National Front Party, rebranding it as the National Rally. Staying in Paris, Victor Mallet is the Paris bureau chief for the Financial Times and joins us. Good to have you with us. So, is it the cost of living that is the deciding question for most voters?
I think that's true. I mean, your correspondence mentioned it, and it is the issue that has really come up in the last few weeks of the campaign. And it is the thing that people are most concerned about. And it's also the theme that Marine Le Pen has actually gone on about quite a lot, very successfully, on her sort of trips around the country to villages and towns across the country. And she's emphasized that rather than emphasizing the policies for which she's better known, which are essentially anti-immigration policies and hostility towards NATO and the EU. So this issue of prices, cost of living, although it's actually less severe in France than it is in other European countries, it's still very much the kind of theme of the campaign.
Let me jump in and ask you this question, because it was really interesting that you mentioned there in the last few weeks. I'm wondering, is there a connection with the war in Ukraine in terms of both the rising cost of living in France, the cost of petrol and so on, and also the pivot in the rhetoric of candidates like Marine Le Pen, as you mentioned, they're pivoting away from attacking NATO and EU and towards other issues.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. The certainly the war sort of very steeply pushed up the cost of petrol and diesel and gas, although actually the French consumer is not with vehicle fuel, but with home heating and so on, they're actually quite protected from those price rises of gas, for example, because they have a lot of nuclear electricity and they have a system that allows the government to limit prices quite a lot. But it's also true that even before the Ukraine war, the immigration as an issue had gone off the boil a little bit. It was very much boosted by Eric Zemmour when he came onto the scene last year, who seems to be even more extreme, certainly more vociferous about immigration and about Islam than Marine Le Pen has been. But so even earlier this year, before the invasion had actually started, there was a tendency to think more about economic issues, I think. And Marine Le Pen sensed that and made that very much the heart of her campaign.
Interesting. If Macron doesn't win this one, is it fair to say France is going to have, or the French political scene is going to have, a major shift? It's either we're going much further right or much further left.
Yes. I mean, when you say win this one, I mean, what we're facing now is the first round where it's going to be narrowed down essentially to two candidates. And if Macron is not in that second round, if he doesn't qualify today, he is likely to do so. But there is a small possibility that the second round will be between Jean-Luc Mélenchon of the far left and Marine Le Pen of the far right. If that happens, definitely we know that we will face a very, very substantial sort of geopolitical crisis, if you like, because France, because whichever candidate wins in that case, they will be more or less anti-EU and anti-NATO, or at least very sceptical about those two institutions. If Macron gets into the second round as expected, then he has to beat Le Pen, and he will very much be focusing on that issue of, you know, France's place in the world, of, you know, what we do about the Ukraine war, how important Europe is from his point of view, and he will be contrasting himself very much with Le Pen, who is probably likely to be the person with him in the second round.
All right, let's broaden it out for our global audience and talk about this election in terms bigger than France. What's at stake here? Is this election basically going to determine whether European populism, anti-EU, anti-multilateralism, is ascendant or descendant? Is that what's also at stake here?
Well, yes, but I would say that even if, you're absolutely right, but even if Marine Le Pen does not win this one, she's almost certain to have the highest score that the far right has ever had in a presidential election in France, which means that the threat will be greater than it's ever been, even if she doesn't actually become president on April the 24th. So whichever way you look at it, it is very much still in the ascendant. I think the whole sort of movement towards nationalism, towards populism, if you like, certainly towards sort of hostility towards globalism or globalists like Emmanuel Macron. You know, we saw it with the election of Donald Trump in 2016. We saw it before that, in the same year with the Brexit vote, and we've seen it in many other countries around the world where sort of, you know, anti-internationalist, very nationalist, very populist leaders tend to win power.
All right. Good to get your thoughts. Thanks so much for joining us, Victor.
Thank you.